This evening we continue with our series based on the book of Psalms, and today we come to another section of Psalm 119. We are, in the section verses 33 to 40, and the character of the letter is letter H. And but before, the one that we were talking about last week was the section before that we were talking about that the psalmist, anonymous, David, well, the psalmist is depressed. He was depressed in the verses before. And we learned, I will not do it again, we learned that he was on the floor, you know, depressed. And then, that's the first D. Then the second one was, he showed devotion. He goes to God and confess. And then he shows determination and dependence. In the verses before, verse 32, finish with, I run. So he started walking. So we finished there. So they were going to pick it up from there. He's on a journey. And now the next session is about a prayer for divine guidance. And here is about a journey. Life is a journey. And as believers, we are wanderers in this world. The moment that by faith, you and me, we accept Jesus Christ in our hearts, like Abraham, the father of faith, we are strangers. We are pilgrims on the earth. This is not our home. The house that you are living, it will not be for eternity. That is the picture. Paul says that Abraham was a stranger and alien on the earth, and he said that we are citizens of heaven. What a wonderful thing that we are citizens of heaven by faith. Now, here in these verses, the psalmist is seeing, asking God to guide him on his way. And he promises to follow God's direction. You and I, we don't need somebody to teach us to do wrong. We just do wrong. Oops, you know, we made a mistake. We do it. But we need somebody to teach us how to live well. How to do right. And the psalmist says, only God can do that for him. This text is unique among the 22 sections of Psalm 119. I cannot believe that we decided to preach on every single section. We are doing it so far. And but here we have, this stanza or section contains a petition on every single verse. Over and over again, he prays for guidance. And the last part is just a statement. He prays, what I need to do, God, and how I'm going to do it. So even though sometimes the Lord's leading seems contrary, you know, sometimes we struggle. Like this morning, we read from Luke chapter 14, is some challenging verses. We know that if God leads the way, we are going to be okay. It is well. It is well when he leads the way. So let's start and let us pray just for a moment. Just let us pray before we read this verse. Heavenly Father, we just want to hear your voice as we read these verses. We just want to unpack what the psalmists have written about your word. We want to honor it. As this letter says, honor. We want to honor your word. So guide us this evening, Lord, because we come in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, the first thing, the psalmist, he's asking for direction. He's running. He wants to know God more. And the first thing he acknowledged is that he needs spiritual directions. Verse 33 says, teach me, Lord, the way of your decrees that I may follow it to the end. Teach me. Teach me. The content of this psalm makes it obvious that he's reading it, he's studying it, he's pondering upon the word of God, and he says, teach me. I want to understand. Teach me. His life is shaped by the word of God. His life is not shaped by liturgy. His life is not shaped by anything else but by the word of God. Turn with me to verse 99. Let's jump a little bit. Just to see how his life is shaped by the word of God. In verse 99 of Psalm 119 says, I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. Here is a man devoted to read the word of God, but the greatest evidence is that now he knows that it's only when he says, teach me, Lord. Foolish people who do not know what they do not know are never accepted by God. God only accepts those who recognize their need for instruction. Some people seem to know better than God. The psalmist says, teach me. St. Bernard says, he who is his own pupil has a fool for his master. Sometimes we seem to know better than God. Some people say, you know, this is my life. I'm glad to hear this morning we have a couple, we have a good conversation, and they, in a life when people are honest, they were visiting, you know, and he said, well, thank you for the sermon. I felt that it was like this. You were doing this to me. Oh, thank you, honest, and sorry. And the wife says, thank you. We are coming back. We are coming back. That's what we come to, you know, the psalmist says, teach me. I'm not coming with my own agenda. He who is his own pupil has a fool for his master. We cannot teach ourselves. Other people cannot teach us to live right. The world cannot teach you and us to live right. It's so sad what is happening in schools in this country. They are confusing our children. The only person who can teach us to live right is God. And the source is this wonderful book. The psalmist understood the best teacher, the best lecturer, the best professor is God. That's what the psalmist is saying. But not only that, the second is that the psalmist says, I need a spiritual insight. Not only teach me, we need a spiritual insight. Why is it important that God give us understanding of his word? Well, the answer is in verse 34. Let's read together verse 34 on the screen. Shall we read it together? Give me understanding so that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Not only teach me, help me to understand it. One Bible scholar says the writer, the psalmist, is asking for two things that he lacks: understanding and the ability to do what he understands. Not only to understand, but the ability to do it. What is happening here? Well, he has a revelation, but he needs illumination that leads to the application, so transformation is happening in his life. If we want God to give us understanding, we must be willing to keep his law. We want to go and do it. He says, he mentioned a word here, heart. But this Hebrew word is not the physical heart. Here, this Hebrew word represents the seat of the emotions. You know, there, for the Hebrew person, this is often translated as vowels to give the picture of a person's innermost part. He wants to obey God with all his being. The first commandment, do you remember? Love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your, that's the picture, with all your strength. The psalmist says, I want to understand it. I cannot do it, but if you give me understanding, I'm going to obey you with all my heart. I want to understand it. Help me, Lord. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. It's the same idea, the same Hebrew word. With all your, I want to do it. No, I'm going to do it if I feel it. I want to do it. I'm going to do it. And do not lean on your own understanding. Remember the phrase that Saint Bernard said, you know, sometimes we seem to know better than God. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight you path. Now, he is walking with God. He wants to know more God. And then the next thing, he gives us a picture. He gives us three pictures here. First of all, he says, well, guide me in my walk. He needs direction in his walk. And he mentioned his feet. The psalmist realized that life is not only a journey, it's a battle. Do you feel that life is a battle? He realized that if he was to keep his life in line with God's word, that he will struggle. So he requires discipline. He requires discipline to fulfill what God says. That's what he says in this following verse. Verse 35 says, direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Lead me in the path of your commandments. This request acknowledges the fact that the psalmist was prompt to wander, to walk away from the path of God. And this is a walk in a path that is directed, that is structured in a certain way and commanded by a single authority. Like an officer leading his troops. Like a sergeant says, come on this way. That is the picture. Lead me. Make me obey you. He realized that he cannot. How many of you, we want to do right things and we don't do it? We need him to make us do it. I cannot do it sometimes, you know. So he said, march me along in the path of your commandments. So the Hebrew word here is a word that represents a one's pathway. One that has been traveled by many people before. So this represents the psalmist. He desires to walk in obedience to God. Isaiah 53 verse 6 says that we all like sheep have gone astray. We want to do our own way. And the psalmist recognized that. And he said, lead me. I need discipline. The mark of a true believer is the one who says, may me do it, Lord. I cannot do it. The psalmist wanted God to make him obedient. Which is different to our world, isn't it? We are entitled to do whatever we want, to believe whatever we want. It's a different picture here. The psalmist says, make me be obedient. Feet, the next picture is the picture of his feelings, his heart. You know, the guidance in the way he feels. And verse 36 says, turn my heart. Shall we read it together? Turn my heart towards the statutes and not towards selfish gain. Incline my heart. Bend my heart towards you. And he pictures two options, that we can incline our hearts to the word of God or to selfish gain. We can turn to the word of God or towards greed, covetousness, selfish gain. The Bible says, you know, for the love of money is the root of all kind of evils. And the psalmist recognized that his heart can be deceived, can go that way or that way. And he says, incline my heart. William MacDonald says, it is a miracle of grace that takes the love of money from a man and replaces it with a love for the Bible. We all want to do well, but our hearts can be inclined to selfish gain. So the psalmist is saying, hey, Lord, help me. Turn my heart to your word. This is a beautiful poem. The whole Psalm 119 is a poem about the love for the Word of God. So, feet, heart, and now he goes to another organ. He said, guide me in the way I see, his eyes. A great deal of temptation to us come through our eyes. So, you know, sinful things have great attraction. So in verse 37, he says, turn my eyes from looking at worthless things, vanity. You know, there is an organic connection between the eyes and the soul. What we see and who we are, what we look at and how we live. Knowing this, the writer prays to God, keep his eyes from beholding worthless things. I don't want to see it. This request is about more than seeing these things. It's about gazing at them, focusing on them, and or concentrating on them. So the psalmist is asking, not close my eyes. No, I don't want to see it. No, turn my eyes from looking at worthless things. Turn me away from the worthless things. And how's the way to do it? He says, the second part of the verse is, preserve my life according to your word. You know, this is the picture. We are being bombarded by TV, movies, books, magazines. So, you know, you are bombarded by that. So the psalmist is the only way to preserve our way. What is it? Preserve my life according to your word. So, okay, it's not that we are not going to read or watch movies and all that. How much do we study the Bible? Because, you know, it's like that, what's happening. For example, you know, in countries like Venezuela, it's a socialist government. So they own the TV, the radio. And they carry on bombarding people with false news. Everything is okay. No, everything is not okay. In Ecuador, that's what was happening. You know, I went and then bombarding with this. What is this? That's the picture. The world is sending those pictures, those news about everything, that what is right is wrong, what is wrong is right. What is this going to preserve our lives? Is the word of God. The psalmist carries on saying, walks. As I walk, he prays for a steadfast perseverance. There were people who had walked before and they gave up. The psalmist don't want to be his story. He wants to persevere. And the first thing he requests is assurance. This is a verse that when he prays for assurance, in the following verse says, fulfill your promise to your servant so that you may be fear. Now, the Hebrew word translated here, promise, is a scripture. And he's saying, fulfill your scripture to your servant. Now, how is it that he prayed for assurance? Well, he didn't ask God to immediately fulfill all the promises in his. He's struggling. He's in trouble. But he's not, well, Lord, do it. No, he says, give me the assurance that of your scripture to your servant so that I can fear it. But let me try to explain this. He's saying that if he understands that God is God, he will understand what things he is not supposed to do and what things he is supposed to do. So the moment he is walking with God, he knows that his word is truth, and he knows he's a loving God, but also his wrath is there. So he will go, and there will be things that he will not do because he wants to honor God. So he says, fulfill the scripture on your servant so that you may fear. I want to honor you. So give me the assurance. I was talking to some person, and this person said, I struggle with Exodus when Moses come back and God, many people were killed. Do you remember when they did the golden calf? And I struggled with a God who loves. And I said, well, we are under grace, but those lessons are there to teach us that he's a God. His wrath is there. And we better don't play with it. I don't want to be under his wrath. He's loving, and we need to teach that in churches. That's what the psalmist is saying. So I know I'm not supposed to do this. I will not do it. That is what the psalmist is saying. He prays for assurance. And it's the same God who loves, but it's the same God who is a jealous God. The next one is he prays for justification. God's word will make him good. Not that he's good. No, God's word. He said, take away the disgrace I dread. Now, here again, some read this prayer as a request for the psalmist will either protect him from disobedience, for shame. But no, we need to be very careful. Let's read some verses before to understand what he's trying to say. Let's come to verse 22 and to verse 24. And he says here, the same Psalm 119, he says, remove from me the scorn and contempt, for I keep your statutes. Though rulers sit together and slander me, your servants will meditate on your decrees. Your statutes are my delight. They are my counselors. The psalmist is commended because he is suffering, but he's saying he prefers to go to God and pray. And he said, this is what I believe. And he will not be in shame because he says, this is what I believe and I'm going to stay on it. Charles Spurgeon says, when men rail at God's government of the world, it is our duty and privilege to stand up for him and openly to declare before him, thy judgments are good. So the psalmist says, I am righteous because you are a good God. Turn away the reproach that I dread, for your rules are good. What is the point here? Well, the source of the scriptures is good. Why? Because it's God's word. The content of the scripture is good. Why? Because it's the truth. The standard of the scripture is good because tell me how to be righteous. The message of the scripture is good because it's what? Salvation. The destination of the scripture is good because where is the destination? Heaven. The thing of the scripture is good. It's about the Messiah, Jesus Christ. The purpose of the scripture is good because it's to give glory to God. So the psalmist said, I am justified. So my Lord, help me. They said, help me. I am good because you are good. My friends, he finished the second part, for your laws are good. Finally, the time is running, and then the final verse of this psalm is verse 40. He says, God's word will make him godly. No, because he's praying, he's going to church in our case, not because I am a very good neighbor, I do charity. No, God's word will also make him godly. God's word will make you godly. He finished with a statement. He said, how I long for your precepts. He's not saying how I long to go to the temple. How I long for your precepts. And the psalmist did not want to be merely be good. He wants to be like God. He longs after God's precepts, law, long to be like him. The final verse of this section is the only one that does not begin with a prayer. Instead, begins with a testimony. Behold, I long for your precepts. How I long for your precepts. Precepts. To have a deep longing for God's truth is the mark of a good believer. Somebody says this. You show me a Christian who longs for the word of God, and I will show you a Christian that is growing in the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You want to learn more. In their churches, don't preach about some passages. There are people don't want to hear. The psalmist says, how I long. How I long. When we submit ourselves to God, we walk with Him. But I love the way Owens opened the service this morning. We make mistakes. How many of you are perfect? Amen. Amen. How many of you mess up and do mistakes? I do it every day. And I finish with a beautiful words from the Apostle John. He's an old man. And he writes to the church. He writes to us and says, my dear children, I write this to you that you will not sin. We are on that journey like the psalmist. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. We are on that journey. And we made mistakes. Maybe you did it yesterday. Last week. And John says, shall we read together verse 2 of 1 John chapter 2, verse 2? He says, He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sin of the whole world. My friends, I conclude saying, let's talk about our journey. The psalmist conclude, you know, this beautiful psalm saying that is Him who's going to help you, who helped Him, God. For us, we know that Jesus Christ, that we have been singing this evening, at that cross, that make us be right with Him. In your righteousness, said the psalmist, preserve my life. It's only in Jesus that we can obey Him, that we can walk on His path, that we can be His children. Are you ready for God to confirm His plans, His purpose in you? We are fragile. May the Lord help us as we walk this week, as we go to college, as we go to work. Let's remember what the psalmist says, that is in His righteousness that we can preserve our life. Have you surrendered your life to Jesus? All these songs this evening is about surrender. We're about surrendering. Have we surrendered? Or is a work in progress? May the Lord help us, like the psalmist, to seek direction. And this section is with start with the letter H. We can honor God. And my friend, it is well. It is well when we honor Him. Because we are on the right path to eternal life. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this beautiful psalm. Thank you for this psalmist who expresses so much love for your word. Preserve my life, he says, through your word. Father, help us to be Christians. Help us to be churches that we depend on your word and we want to honor it. And we do know that when we honor it, it's going to be okay. Because you will be leading our way. So, Father, as we go out this week into the world, help us to walk in your path, depending on Jesus Christ. Help us to surrender our life to Jesus, and the Holy Spirit will guide us to do your will, to give you honor and glory. Amen.